Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Federated National Holding Company's third quarter 2013 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you do have a question, please press star, then the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. Please note this conference is being recorded. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements. Without limiting the generality of the foregoing, words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in those expectations not being reached. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call, our press release issued today, and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during the presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events, or circumstances, or otherwise. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, CEO and President of Federated National Holding Company. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Federated National Holding Company's third quarter 2013 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Pregelski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter can be found in our earnings press release. I will go over some brief highlights from the quarter, and then Pete and I will open up the line for questions. Highlights include 337% increase in net income Q3 2013 as compared with Q3 2012. 152% increase in year-to-date net income for 2013 as compared with 2012. 143% increase in gross premiums written for Q3 2013 as compared with Q3 2012. 86% increase in net premiums earned for Q3 2013 as compared with Q3 2012. 74% increase in homeowners policy count to approximately 100,300 as of September 30, 2013, compared with approximately 57,600 as of September 30, 2012. Book value increased to 917 at September 30, 2013, as compared with 826 at December 31, 2012. Total expenses, excluding loss and loss adjusting expenses, as a percentage of total revenue, totaled 40% during Q3 2013, as compared with 47% during Q3 2012. I am pleased to report another successful quarter, which included significant growth in policy count, premium, and net income. I see opportunities for us to continue growing our business while remaining committed to the discipline that has helped generate our results during the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2013. We believe that our business model, capabilities, and relationships are unique in our marketplace. While we'll always face competition and challenges, I'm very pleased with and proud of the position of the company today. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered, or if you'd like to remove your line from the queue, you may press the pound key. And again, if you do have a question, please press star and then one at this time. Our first question comes from the line of William Myers from Miller Asset Management.
Hi, congratulations on the great quarter.
Thank you, William.
Okay, so just a very general question. That's a great EPS number. Is this, by any chance, a one-time number for the quarter, or are we going to see, would you say this is something we're going to see going forward, or can we, are we going to continue to grow that number? Any thoughts on that would be helpful.
Well, we're obviously continuing to grow our business, and what we've said in the past is that we're writing approximately $3 million a week of new homeowners business, and that's continuing. We believe that business to be profitable, and we believe the bigger we get with this line of business, we become that much more efficient. So we think things have trended favorably, and we're going to continue to grow the business.
Okay, great. Could you fill me in on, I believe you were renegotiating reinsurance costs and should have finalized that by now. Can you let us know how that went?
Yeah, the reinsurance has obviously been completed. We're mostly through the season, the wind season. The total cost was approximately $67.5 million. We did buy additional cover through the wind season as we were continuing to write. So we wound up with approximately $423 million of cover with about a $7 million retention. It's about, like I said, $67.5 million, which is about $17 million a quarter. So it's ceded premium, but we're just, for all intents and purposes, look at it as an expense. We'll have that expense not only in the third quarter, but it would be the same expense during the fourth and the first two quarters of 2014.
Okay, sounds good. And one last question for me. You're doing a lot more business. How is your infrastructure holding up?
Fantastic. We have a phenomenal team, and we continue to add underwriters and adjusters. The management team is solid and deep, and we can handle the volume.
Okay, thanks so much. I'll let someone else give you a question. Thanks.
Thank you, William.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of John Evans from J West LLC.
Hi, John.
Hey. Okay, so you blew out the quarter relative to kind of premiums written seasonally. This is a bad quarter, and you were only down about $9 million sequentially from what you wrote in Q2, which was an all-time record. So can you talk a little bit about, as you're in Q4, how you're trending on a weekly basis, and kind of if you can give us any thoughts as you go into the busier renewal season, et cetera, about premiums written in Q4 and Q1, and then maybe update us on the Allstate business.
Sure. In terms of the business that we're writing, typically Q3, we do not write a lot of business, but because of the quality of our book and the quality of the reinsurance program that we have, along with the price, we felt comfortable to write, and we did. We wrote pretty steady from Q2 into Q3. So we were averaging ballpark $3 million a week of business. We're now in Q4, and let me clarify, that $3 million a week is new business. Q4, we're maintaining approximately that same number. We're seeing a slight uptick on that. In terms of renewal of homeowner business, that tends to be around 90%. So I think you're going to see typical retention as Q4, as well as I have no reason to believe that $3 million a week of new is going to change as we go into Q4, Q1, and Q2 for that matter. The marketplace can change at any time, obviously, but no reason to believe that's going to change. We've invested heavily on our voluntary business, having quality agents, and we service the business in a very good manner for the benefit of our insureds, but also for the benefit of the agents, because that's who places the business with us. And we think we've built out a very good distribution model. In terms of Allstate, we've been with them. They were in the second and third quarter, and that business is going very well. They're treated just like all of our independent agents, the same underwriting and the same processing. I believe they're very happy with us as well.
Okay. Can you talk just a little bit about, from the standpoint of the infrastructure and kind of leveraging as the unearned premium comes through? So if I look at your salaries sequentially were up about $300,000, and then operating and underwriting expenses were also up sequentially too. So can you help us understand that better, especially since you wrote a little bit less business this quarter on the
Sure. In terms
operating.
Of, if you want to drill deeper, Pete can answer those questions better than I. But generally speaking, we continue to add staff. We're at around 147 staff right now. That's up around 40, 50 people from the year before. And the vast majority of those people are either underwriters or adjusters. And when I say underwriters, I would include customer service on that. In terms of the management team, I believe we have a very deep management team that's been in place for 10-plus years. We've been writing property since 1998, so we have the systems in place. Periodically, we are adding another person here and there in other departments, but we don't anticipate the infrastructure to change. And what I mean by that is we anticipate it to become even more efficient as we grow with it. If you have a more specific question for Pete to drill down on.
No, I think that Mike answered it well. I go back to his point that he made in his introductory remarks where our target has been for our operating and underwriting expenses and salaries, everything but loss and LAE, to be around 40% of revenue. And we've, I think, achieved that now three quarters in a row. Last year, third quarter, we were at about 47%. So it's come down quite a bit.
And the last question, and then I'll go back into the queue, is did you write anything outside of Florida yet, or is this all Florida still?
We wrote about a dozen policies in Louisiana year to date, and we think that will come online steady, but it's going to be immaterial for the next few quarters and really through 2014. That's homeowners. In terms of GL, we've always primarily been Florida. We do have some in Texas, Louisiana, and Georgia, Alabama, but those are very small. The vast majority of our business is Florida homeowners, absolutely. We plan on bringing some other states online as well through 2014 for homeowners from Louisiana to include Alabama and then South Carolina. That's going to be a slow process in the rollout and also in the ramp-up. Primarily it's going to be Florida.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the questions, John.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Doug Ruth from Lenox Financial.
Mike and Pete, congratulations. You exceeded my expectations.
Thank you, Doug.
Can you give us a current policy count? I'm not sure how close you can get to where we are today?
Well, we ended the quarter at 100,300. We're adding about 3 million a week of premium, new premium homeowners, which is about 1,500. So being 4 weeks out, ballpark, you can add about 6,000 to that. And then another 12 million for the month, ballpark. And then obviously policies are bound before they're actually effective and enforced. They really go out. We allow our agents to bind out to 6 weeks. So you could probably add another 5 million, maybe as high as, let's say, 8 million of bound policies on top of that are still working their way through the process.
Okay. When you do the math, when you do the math, how many policies do you think you have?
Well, right now, I would say we're at about 100 and let's say around 112,000 policies in force right now, homeowner policies.
Okay, thank you for that. And then, can you comment on your four-prong business strategy and how you've been being able to maintain that?
Well, it's the discipline of what has brought us here. Obviously, the Florida marketplace was very difficult 3-4 years ago. And what worked us through that is what we come back to all the time, which is disciplined underwriting, risk management to ensure that our exposure is correct, expense control, which we always remain committed on, as well as the product distribution, which is, you know, to ensure that we've got that we're a preferred carrier in the marketplace. Years ago when we struggled, we weren't always in that position, and we learned a lot of things along the way, and we worked very hard to get where we're at, and it's serving us well, and we remain committed to what has really got us there.
Okay. Well, it's just a beautiful report, and we're grateful that you're there, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. And again, if you do have a question, you may press star followed by the number one key on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Lee Matheson from Broadview Capital Management.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
Good, thanks. You?
Great.
Good. Solid results again. Just a couple nits, I guess. Other income was up $500,000. So what was that?
Primarily other income is our in-house insurance agency as well as our MGA. We are brokering third-party products. That's something we've been working on for the last year or two, and I think you're going to see some more traction on that in 2014. We're trying to, whatever our retail agents need, we're trying to have as many products for them as possible. So I think you're going to see that inch up with each successive quarter as well. But I don't think it's going to be material. But we sell liability third party. We sell workers' comp, actually. We have no risk in the program. But basically what we're doing is acting as a general agent to give our retail agent more product, connecting them with a risk-bearing entity that will write it.
Okay, good. And in terms of the investment income, I mean, it's been, I think, three consecutive quarters of $800,000 of investment income, but presumably the book, the portfolio is building given the premiums written. Have you guys just been shortening duration, or is it there just hasn't been that net huge amount of move in rates, or why are you not getting any more investment income out of it?
Hey, Lee, it's Pete.
Hey, Pete. A couple of things.
One, recently we've begun to shift out of taxable fixed income instruments into some tax exempt. So there was a period there where we had a large block of investable funds sitting in cash that we've now reinvested. Likewise, also we've shortened the duration now to under 4 years at about 3.6. So we lost a little yield there. We were in cash for a period going into tax exempts. So I think you'll see in the next quarter or two the yield percentage staying the same, but the income being greater because we have more investable funds.
Gotcha. Okay. And you guys have a decent sized equity a book, I think it was $30 million at the end of last quarter. Are you continuing to run with that sort of that weight in equities?
Actually, no. We've recently begun to rebalance the portfolio, which if you look at the results, you'll see that there was a realized gains of almost $800,000, and that was a result of the rebalancing. Because of the rebalancing, we sold equities that were in nice gain position, so took some chips off the table and purchased fixed income or tax exempt munis with that money. And going forward, over the last several weeks, any investable funds we've received have been going into fixed income. So you're going to see equities as a percentage of the entire portfolio dropping below, probably settling around 15%.
Okay, great. And just a couple other things. In terms of geographic diversification of the policy growth, where's Tri-County in terms of policy count? And then can you give us an idea of are you writing – how many – excuse me, are you in any new counties in Florida this quarter or this year versus last?
The first question is Tri-County. We're at about 19% of our policy count is Tri-County, Tri-County being Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. And then in terms of 67 counties in the state, we're in every county but one. Lafayette, which is a small county of 8,000 people in the panhandle, still haven't written our first policy up there. Not sure when we will. But our book is really all over the state of the 100,000. We look at it in different pockets. We call South Florida, which is a tri-county, Southwest Florida, Tampa St. Pete is another zone for us, Inland, which is the most competitive. Inland is the Orlando market, the Panhandle, and Jacksonville. So Inland and Jacksonville are the most competitive markets. But really, I mean, we've got great exposure all over the state. I mean, I think we've done a very good job getting the distribution throughout the state.
Good. Okay. And then last question is just on stat capital and the carrier. Where were you at quarter end?
Oh, we're right around $59 million of stat surplus.
Okay. And then you have the shelf filed. What, you know, obviously when you filed it, the equity reacted pretty negatively. Seemed to have recovered a fair amount of that now. What, you know, what's your thinking there?
Well, there's not much we can say on that right now, but as additional information becomes available, we're going to be releasing it.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. And our next question comes to the line of David Speyer from Nitor Capital.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, David. How you doing?
Great, great. Great quarter, you know, very impressive.
Thank you.
So based on the $3 million a week in new business that you said earlier that you expect to continue for around the next three quarters, that implies, you know, a potential of $100 million in additional premium by around the middle of next year. Is that correct?
Well, right now we're writing $3 million a week. I have no reason to believe that's going to change. But if you do the math, sure. You do 33 weeks at $3
million, but that's something, you know, a horizon that's realistic, so...
We're continuing to write the volume based on our underwriting criteria. So,
right.
You know, that's the path we're on.
All right, that's great. The other, you know, just one other thing I just want to touch on is, so the increase in, you know, the reinsurance market. So it seems like it's directly benefiting, you know, your reinsurance program. Do you expect pricing to remain around 40% in terms of out of your, you know, your policy count? I mean,
yeah,
premiums?
There's two separate things there. Reinsurance did come down this year. And early indications are that the world is flush with cash and there's still more money heading to Bermuda. So it appears that reinsurance may come down another 10% next year. That's speculation. That's what's being, you know, the rumor in the market. The market hasn't had losses in a couple of years in terms of from hurricanes. So that's one thing. In terms of our reinsurance, we've locked in our, like I said earlier, the $67.5 million. So if you, that's about $17 million a quarter. So you'll see that we have the reinsurance as a percentage for this quarter. But because we're growing significantly, you're going to see the reinsurance as a percentage of premium drop over the next three quarters only because we're growing. So on a long term, I think the low 40s is really where we're going to be, and that's based on where we've been in the past. However, short term, with our rapid growth, you'll see some additional benefit.
All right, great. All right, congratulations again. Really impressive quarter.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Buzz Heidke from Heidke & Company.
Yes. Let's see. How much of your revenues been coming from price increases? How much has that been this versus the last quarter or a year ago?
Well, we our last rate increase was about 4%, and that was in 2012.
Okay, then. Now, are you regulated by the state on what you have to charge?
We're an admitted market, which means that we are regulated by the appropriate states, which is primarily Florida, which means Florida Office of Insurance Regulation. And we have actuaries, established rates, rules, forms that is approved by the Office of Insurance Regulation.
And since there weren't any Category 3 hurricanes this year, do you think the rates will probably go down over the next 12 months?
In terms of reinsurance, it's possible. We don't know, but it's speculation that they could go down. In terms of our rates are determined based on our expenses, which is the largest expenses, reinsurance, and then we have losses, which is non-hurricane losses. We call it AOP, all other peril, mm-hmm. and our acquisition. So as our expenses decrease or increase, that would be reflected in the rate. But we don't have any rate increase or decrease set at this point.
All right, let me ask you this. The Florida market, real estate market, was just in shambles a few years ago. Now it's really improved. Has that helped you out a lot?
Well, I would agree with you that the real estate market has improved. And we insure to what's called replacement cost, which mm-hmm. is different than the retail value of a house. So there was some confusion from insureds as they bought policies when the market was depressed. And in other words, let's say they could buy the house for $100,000, but it would cost $150,000 to replace it. that disconnect, I would say, has been resolved for the most part. But sure, a healthy economy can help us, absolutely.
And it hurt you before, didn't it?
It impacted us, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, now what about your bond portfolio? Do you have like an average maturity on your bond portfolio?
Yes, we do. It's approximately, and I'm guessing it's under four. I would say it's probably about 3.75 years.
Okay, then. And then how come you're doing munis versus, for say, preferred stocks?
Well, we're restricted slightly on the preferred stocks. We, you know, statutorily, as Mike said, we're regulated by the Department of Insurance, and just, I don't want to oversimplify it, but basically we need to have 90% on a cost basis of our investments in fixed income instruments.
And I guess you maybe lost money in your portfolio last quarter.
You're talking about bonds or?
Yeah, bonds, yeah.
There was some unrealized losses as the price of bonds dropped slightly, but they've rebounded now as, you know,
yeah,
the
it
Fed
probably
backed
worse
off
the quarter before, I'm sure.
Right.
But the second quarter's kind of bad then. And
exactly. But since the Fed has backed off their statement that they were going to end their easing and they're continuing to buy bonds, the prices have rebounded somewhat.
Okay, then. And when did I didn't even know you, I mean, I'm a stockholder. You said you had a filing. Somebody said you had a filing recently. When was that?
When you say a filing, clarify.
Proposed filing or something, maybe going to be offering or something like that.
Someone was asking about the shelf that we filed, mm-hmm. but that's we're in a quiet period, so there's really nothing we can say on that. You know, as more information becomes available, we're going to be releasing that.
Okay. I wouldn't mind getting in on it if you had it, but I'd hope you don't just say you've done the deal.
Well, what you can do if you like is our contact information is public, Peter I, and if you send us your contact information, if we do a deal and if there's a broker involved, we'll be glad to forward your contact information to them.
Thank you very much.
Like I said, there's just not much we can say on it at this point.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, y'all done a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Samir Khare from Capital Returns Management.
Good afternoon, guys. Great quarter.
Hey, thank you, Samir.
I just have two simple questions. One is, do you guys have a sense of how much of the company is owned by employees and management of Federated?
Well, that's public information. It's less than 10%.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's out there.
Okay. And then is there any reason to believe that you guys could exceed the $3 million per week? I mean, are you guys still appointing agents, or is there other things in the works that you guys are doing to increase that?
Well, we're not necessarily bringing on more agents, Samir. The
mm-hmm.
fourth quarter tends to be higher volume traditionally than the third quarter. The third quarter is usually the slowest quarter for us, and I would say for the industry. The fourth, first, and second tend to be higher. It could be higher than $3 million, absolutely. Right now we're averaging approximately $3 million. I believe it could go up, but I can't say that with certainty. There's two new markets that have been approved and will start writing voluntary. Really, there's about 40 domestic. So let's say there's 50 people that are in the marketplace. Anything can happen. I have no reason to believe it's really going to change materially on a go-forward basis, but we remain disciplined that we're going to write the business that we know works. If it increases, it increases. If it decreases, it decreases. We're most concerned with bottom line. We're not chasing any magical growth number.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Samir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And our next question is a follow-up from the line of John Evans from J West LLC.
Hey, can you just talk a little bit, your tax rate sequentially or from the first quarter was a little bit less because you're going to munis. Is the tax rate going to change materially going forward, or can you help us understand what you think is a good tax rate that we can kind of look at?
I think the best tax rate, if you guys are creating your own models, is about 35%. You'll see in the first two quarters it trended a little higher. We do our tax true-up September as of September 30th. So the effective tax rate in Q3 was less than Q1 and Q2, but for the year it's about 35%. You know, with the munis, we're not jumping into the muni market full force. We're dipping our toes, so to speak, maybe 10% of the portfolio. So maybe the rate comes down to 34.25, 34.5, somewhere in that neighborhood. But if you're trying just to develop a model, a safe conservative tax rate would be 35%.
Okay, and then on the losses, they were down year over year and they were down sequentially. Can you just talk a little bit about, I think that's in your target, right? I mean, the target's kind of 48 to 52. Is that the range?
Yeah, we've discussed that before. I think that, you know, anywhere around that 50% number is what Mike and I don't know if we target, but that's what we expect. But every quarter is different. Claims are just, you never know what you're going to get in a quarter, but we do target around that 48 to 52. So we're pleased with where the number was this quarter for sure.
And then will you get a true-up in the fourth quarter? Because, I mean, the hurricane season was really light. There wasn't anything really to speak of. So would you expect Q4 to be better than or a true-up?
Well, what's interesting, Q4, so statutorily we're required to have an actuarial exam at the end of the year, and we get an actuarial opinion, and the actuaries give us a range, and Mike and I are committed to booking the actuary's central estimate. So he'll look at the book. The actuaries will look at the book not only from a CAT perspective but from an all other peril. They'll look at property. They'll look at CGL. And then, yeah, there is a, as you say, true up, and it could go, you know, we could be light, we could be heavy. So
there's always going to be volatility from quarter to quarter, but we at year end, we think we're right on where we need to be, and we have internal controls to make sure that we're on that trajectory throughout the year as well.
Yeah. We look at it, besides the annual review, we also look at it twice internally to make sure we're targeting the right loss ratio.
Okay, and then the last question, the stat cap, I think you said was 51 at the end of the quarter, is that right?
59. It's 58 and change, but close to 59.
And then you can write five times that, is that right?
Well, generally speaking, you can write as high as 5-1, but there's a lot of moving pieces to that. There's something called RBC that can impact it. And because of our rapid growth, RBC has a penalty in there. So during the short term, it could be less than 5-1, but it could be as high as 5-1. There's a lot of moving pieces.
So where would you guys be comfortable? I mean, if we said 4-1, is that a good
thing?
That's
a reasonable number. I would say, depending on the marketplace, once again, but I would say in an ideal situation, 3, 3.5 to 4, maybe even 4.5 in some cases, depending on the situation of the marketplace. A ballpark.
And I do apologize. Can you just give us your thoughts, just kind of on, you know, the government insurance, the lottery, you know, the system down there, everything. Your thoughts about pricing, everything, just big picture.
Well, I think you're talking about the clearinghouse, which is Citizens, which is the insurer of last resort in Florida. And there's something coming online January 1, which is called the clearinghouse. And basically, before a policy can go into Citizens, it's going to be electronically shopped in the admitted market. And we're a member of the admitted market. And there's about 20 companies, including ourselves, that will participate in this. And if the risk is acceptable to us, then the risk would not be eligible for Citizens. So that's new business. So the admitted market could be priced as high as 15% more than Citizens, and it would still not be eligible to go into Citizens as new policy. Separate from that, renewals will be shopped electronically in the admitted market as well. You don't have that 15% variance, but you have a flat. So if it's the same price or less, it would not be eligible to be renewed in Citizens and instead would go to the admitted market. What's going to happen with it, we don't know. I think it will impact the marketplace. I don't think it will be a huge impact, and that's why we're so committed on what we've been doing the last 3, 4, 5 years of investing so heavily into our voluntary distribution We did not participate in the DPOPs or the assumption of risk from Citizens. We have a lot invested in what we do to ensure that the business comes through what I call the front door in an orderly fashion, and we look at each individual policy. We're not taking in policies in a wholesale fashion. So I don't think the clearinghouse is really going to change the marketplace that much, but obviously we'll learn more as the year progresses throughout 2014.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, and that concludes our question and answer session for today. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any concluding remarks.
Well, we would like to thank everyone for the time that they've had for the questions today, for listening in, obviously. We're very pleased with what we've done over the last 3 years and where we're at today and what we're working on for the future. And appreciate the questions. And if anyone has follow-up questions, Pete and I, our contact information is out there. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.